Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of Freedom from Addiction, Truth Just Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And man, this topic is very interesting just because of what we're going to discuss today involving productive meetings, but in regarding Meetup. I find it fascinating because Meetup's become a very, very popular platform, hasn't it, to meet people, especially during the pandemic?
Absolutely. Meetups all over the world, and you can get into a meetup group and about any subject that you would like to get into. And mainly for most areas, it is virtual, but depending on the restrictions of the state, they are having meetup groups in person actually at this time. So let me say to my people that it's a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something from it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of coronavirus pandemic, safer. I am Reverend Wynn Henderson, as an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor. I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction, Share Your Mission is the longest running single hosted and produced spiritually based radio internet talk show in America. It has been continuously running for over 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms, and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life and then acting on it. Our guest today is Dr. Tarunee Lamberg. And Dr. Lamberg is a associate professor of mathematics education at the University of Nevada. She holds a doctorate in mathematics education from Arizona State and a postdoctorate from Vanderbilt. She's been a college professor for 17 years. She has two books in print at the present time. The one we will work with today, Conductive Productive Meetings, and another one, Leaders Who Lead Successfully. Dr. Lamberg, it's nice to have you on the show this week.
It is my pleasure.
Well, as I talked with you earlier in the week about this show, I said that you're an expert on productive meetings. You're an academic person, an academic writer. And what I wanted to do today was to use your book, which can be used for any kind of meeting, to talk about one particular type of meeting today, and that's Meetup. Meetup.com is a terrific website for the free distribution of information in meetings. Sometimes they're virtual and sometimes they're actual sit-down meetings. But at any rate, Meetup is very popular all over the world. And I ask you to go to a Meetup meeting and listen to it. And then we will use that information that you've got to kind of help people see how your book might help them with this one particular type of meeting. But as you told me, it would be good for any meeting that you might be involved in, right?
That's correct.
Well, let's start off with some brief principles suggested in your book to form a meetup group, and how can you run productive meetup groups?
Well, I think the first thing you need to ask yourself is, why would you even want to start a meetup group? So the question is thinking about yourself personally, as well as what are you trying to accomplish? So asking yourself, why do I want to create such a group? What do I want to accomplish in that group? What do I envision it to be? So those are some really good questions to ask yourself when forming a group. And the other part is, who do I want to attract? When you're joining a meetup group, you might want to think about, you know, is that a good fit or not? So how do you attract the kind of people that you're trying to accomplish with forming a meetup group? So that's something to think about.
Okay, so I would say, people, write down these questions if you can. If you can't, listen to this broadcast a second time and answer them. You know, you'll get a lot more out of any kind of education if you will write the questions down and answer them on paper, right?
That's a very good point. So like the three things to think about is, why do you want to do this? Like what is, and it's interesting to when you're thinking about why, and this depends on regardless of what kind of meetup group or meeting that you run is, like, what is your purpose? What are you trying to accomplish? What do you envision, like your personal vision? What, like, for example, you were talking about possibly creating a meetup group on losing weight. You might want to think about, what does that look like? When people participate, what would be the end result look like? So asking yourself, why am I doing this? If it's not just just to put a meeting together, but why am I really investing the time to help people lose weight? And I think kind of tapping into your higher purpose of trying to make a difference, that would help you kind of focus and motivate and help you commit the time to do that. The second part is what? So, okay, so you decided to put a group together to lose weight, but what are you gonna do in these meetup groups? What would make sense? So thinking about the what is kind of important when you get started. One of the, a story when I interviewed a professor who had, in one of my books, was he was talking about how he was trying to help his family plant a garden. So he went to the nursery and got some seedlings, and he wanted a garden where you get some fruit in it. And so he had to go home and convince his family that you're going to have this amazing garden with this beautiful flowers and fruits. And so he wanted to get them to help him with that. So part of it is like communicating a vision. So if people are coming to your meetup group, what are they going to get out of that? So that's something to think about. Maybe.
Well, thank you for bringing up about the weight loss group. I'm just putting this together right now, and hopefully we'll start it within a week. And if people are interested in losing over 20 pounds, they can come to my group, and I'm going to give them some directions of what they can do at home. And I can almost guarantee if they will follow the directions, they will lose weight very inexpensively compared to anything else that they can find. And I believe weight loss is in the name of the group. And it's based in Asheville, North Carolina. If you need to search meetup.com to find that group, but I'd invite you all to come to that. My next question is, what or how can the facilitator consider participation of the members? In other words, do you do all the talking? Do you let them talk? How do you let them talk? A few quick guidelines.
So part of it is, I think, as a facilitator, as you're forming this group, is trying to kind of get a sense of who the people are in your group. I think kind of getting some kind of background information. I think one of the nice things with the meetup groups, you know, like a link to Facebook, you kind of get to know who your people are, you know, what age group and things like that, or, you know, say the weight loss group, or why do you think people join the group? So part of it is kind of getting to know who the people are, and then kind of defining what problem you're trying to solve. So when you're looking at weight loss, you might want to think about what is the reason people are joining the group. Do they want self-control strategies? Like, how do I
quit
eating the cookie and eat the apple instead, even though I'm guilty of that. I would be eating this cookie going, I know I need to be eating something like the apple or something more healthier, but why is it that I'm having a hard time when I'm stressed making those choices? So part of it is getting to know who you are and that who your people are, and then making sure that all voices are in the table.
So Dr. Lamb,
yes,
I was going to jump in on this because the important thing is in any meeting, well, let's just talk about meetup, is that the objective of why people have come to this meeting is to learn something. So if we get off of that tangent and not really present the things that they expect, why they've chosen to take that time, we're going to miss out. And that's why you wrote this book in a lot of ways, Dr. Lamberger, am I correct?
Yes, that's absolutely true. Like, one of the things is you might have your vision, but then when you get your group together, you need to co-create why you're there. So it's kind of like you start out with your own vision, but then you figure out who your people are and how are you going to address the group needs. And so, yeah, go ahead.
So Dr. Lambert, I know from running groups in the past that, and from being in groups in the past, that there's different ways that the facilitator runs the group. And what maybe a tip or two on how important is it to get participation from the group members so that they are expressing their ideas and you're not doing all the talking. Any tips on how you would do that?
It's posing a question so that they have something to answer. Getting people opportunities to talk, so giving time to listen. I think listening to what people have to say, facilitating not just like I have a church group which I go part of, and just if you're noticing people are not talking or some people are dominating the conversation, maybe calling on others who might be not sharing their opinions or their voices. So it's making sure that everybody's participating. And that also goes into thinking about the size of the group, like what's the optimal size to participate as well. So, with the pandemic, I'm teaching classes online. So hearing everybody's voices is kind of, if you have 100 people, it's hard, but maybe using breakup groups or small groups, that's another tip to get people to share their opinions and then share out with the group. So that's one strategy you could use.
That's interesting. And when you talk about, the size, sometimes groups of meetings, if you have too large of a meeting, especially virtually, it's going to destroy the community and the atmosphere that's going to lead to less connection, less connectivity, and less objectives met and obtained, right? From the objectives that are written for that goal of that meeting, right?
That is very true. I think you might want to think about the size of the group, for what you're trying to accomplish. If there's 100 people, chances are I might feel uncomfortable sharing about my habit of eating cookies when I should be eating something healthy. So I think that one of the things is creating an environment where people feel comfortable with each other. That goes into any kind of meeting, getting to know people. One of the things I discovered as I ran a statewide project is the value of humor. When people are laughing and they're joking around, there's a level of comfort that's built into the group. People don't crack jokes and laugh if they're not comfortable with each other. And so you know, you might have people, you know, starting with a joke or something funny or something that puts people at ease, or sharing a funny story or something like that. But building that relationships is so valuable for running the effective meetings. Can you think of times where you felt comfortable in a meeting situation or not?
Yes, humor is definitely important in communication, regardless of what type it is. And your specialty and expertise is conducting productive meetings. So if you want to be productive, there's got to be some humor in the meeting. And it also does a lot of other things other than just getting more content into the meeting. Talk to me about thinking outside of the box. I know what the box is, but how can you think outside of the box for a particular meeting? Let's take my upcoming meeting on weight loss. And also as part of that, what do you think would be the optimum number of people? Would it be 5, 10? I don't know if you get over a certain number. We've already discussed some of the things that would hinder the meeting. What's your idea?
Well, I think, you know, it was interesting because I went and joined a meetup group, you know, to kind of experience that. And I participated virtually. And I think that if there was like too large of a group, like if I couldn't see everybody on the screen and you had to kind of switch screens, I think that creates a less comfortable environment to share than if you can see everybody on the screen. When you think about your, so the optimal number would kind of, I would say people that if you're doing it virtually that can see each other on the screen without kind of flipping through. I think if you're doing it in a live setting, you might want to think about your experiences of how many, you know, maybe 10, 15 people, maybe they might feel more comfortable than if you have 50 people, but it also just depends on what exactly you're trying to accomplish.
I know in a meetup group that I went to yesterday, there was 6 people there. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to talk about whatever the topic was for that particular week or whatever like that. I got very bored because people didn't have anything prepared. So they were just kind of talking all around this, that, and the other, not focused on the problem or issue that the meetup group was talking about. And I liken it to going to a karaoke event where you want to sing, you get to sing one song, and then you have to wait 2 hours before your turn comes up again. And I think that if you don't allow enough time for each individual to talk, that you're making a mistake in that group. What do you think?
Well, I think you hit a really good point. First of all, if you know, like I said, when I purposefully didn't want to join a really large group. I wanted to be in a setting where I could feel like, as you said, you have a voice. The other part is if there really isn't a focus to the meeting or a purpose, then you're kind of like, you're just there, but you're not really, there's no direction to the meeting. So I think whoever is organizing the meeting needs to really think about is, what is the purpose for this meeting? What are we going to accomplish in this meetup group? So when you're thinking about weight loss, you know, you're not going to, this is something I've been always struggling with. You know, you're not going to lose your 20 pounds in 1 week. So you might have to think about like, where do I start and what do I need to build up? So each time we come in, what do we want to accomplish? What do we want to share out in? What is the focus? And having people come in prepared, going, how do I expect them to participate? Another thing about dealing with people is building on people's strengths. So maybe the person who's struggling with the weight loss just has valuable information versus the person who's actually being successful. You know, having both of those to share, like, I'm trying to, you know, eat the right things, but I'm struggling. And why am I struggling? That might give a really interesting perspective. And then listening to the person going, you know, I did this and it really worked. So yeah, go ahead.
And do you think that the host, the facilitator, should prepare an agenda for the meeting, tell the people at the beginning what the agenda is, and then kind of hold them to it rather than let them go off in different directions?
That is a very good point, is that the host needs to know what you're trying to accomplish and let people know ahead of time, so that when they come to the meeting, then they can share what they have experienced, they have something to contribute, and then you want that meeting to go someplace. So you want it to not just like end, okay, everybody share, but you want, if you really have accomplishing the goal of weight loss, you need to have something that they leave with, that they implement.
Let's talk about awareness. Awareness when the meeting's going on. You talked about an agenda, but being aware of the reactions of the other people in the room is very important as well, right? How they're reacting, how they're participating, making sure everyone's involved in the meeting, right?
That's absolutely a very important part, is paying attention to people's expressions, body language. Do people look bored, or do they look, you know, uninterested and not engaged? So gearing, you know, if people are participating actively, that means you're addressing a need that people had. When you come together and you're kind of redefining the problem to go to the next steps. I think when you're conducting a meeting, you're addressing a need. And then you come up, this is a strategy that I use in my college classes, as well as this can go to any meeting. The first step is to define a problem or pose a problem as the facilitator. Then you get people's input. You have different people share different perspectives. Now, if you're in a large group, like say there's 50 people, of course you don't have time to get everybody to share. That's when you give people time to think and have breakout groups, you know. I find like between 3 to 4 is the optimal breakout group, because then you have time to talk. If you're waiting for the 50th person to share your idea, by then you're tuned out listening to it. So the first level is to get people to share ideas. If, you know, it depends on your situation. Like if what I would do as a facilitator is record people's ideas, write it on a chart paper or the whiteboard feature of your Zoom meeting, or create a Word document and go, oh, okay, these are your different ideas. Second level is analyzing people's ideas. How is what you said similar or different to what this other person said? When you're analyzing each other's ideas, it also focuses people to listen to each other. So it's not about, I just shared what I have to say, but I'm also listening and thinking about what's been shared. And then the third level is, what's the big idea? So how does what we just did contribute to weight loss, or setting a goal or an actionable item? And then when you end the meeting, you want to go, okay, where are we now and what are our next steps, so that you hold people accountable?
Dr. Lamberg, it's obvious to me that you are an expert in the field of conducting productive meetings, and you have a book. I wonder if you'd tell our people how they can get that, whether or not you want them to come to a website, and anything else in relationship to getting your message out to the people that are listening today?
The books are available on Amazon. So it's if you look up Conducting Productive Meetings, my name is Teruni Lamberg. I also have a website, optimizedlearning.net. And, you know, what I do study is how people learn and how people learn in group settings. So this work, these books took research on creativity, on how people learn in social settings, and kind of looked into how we can support learning that way.
Yes, I wanted to jump real quick in this point that I look at as, you know, scaling my business to more than one and being part of meetings and making sure even an individual meeting one-on-one with a team member, the importance of having a productive meeting. How are those meetings so important in the growth of a company?
It is like the most important thing. I mean, your whole success of your company or your business or whatever you're doing is how effective your meetings are. If you have motivated people who are doing things, who are taking action and moving things forward, then your meetings are effective. If people just come in and check off a box and nothing changes, then you're wasted time and it leads to loss of innovation and productivity. So conducting meetings is so important that how you use people's time, so that you value people's time, and that when people come in, they go energized, going, let's kind of motivate and do things that are innovative and that makes a difference.
We have gotten close to the end of the program, but I want to give you opportunity, if there was something important that you wanted to share that we haven't talked about already, with respect to how to conduct a productive meetup group. Is there any other ideas, tips, or anything that you're just dying to say?
I would say relationships and personal connection. I just got a sweet note from the lady who organized the meetup group, and I thought, wow, that was really nice. You know, that made me want to come back the next time. So like that communication piece that's personalized, I think, would go a long way.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing where meetings are going, when especially with the newest hit Clubhouse, where people would definitely need to read Dr. Lamberg's book to understand specifically enough how to interact people in an environment where you can't see facial expressions. You only can hear them. And it's really becoming a future thing of the way we are providing value for people now has to be where we're aware of our audience. And Dr. Lamberg's book will definitely put that into place for what we heard so far and how that can relate to so many things.
Great. Well, let's close with the thought that my mission or purpose in life is to spread the message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. This is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you meet three simple criteria, everyone gets well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. And the first is to follow the link to my podcast. And that's www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. No caps, no spaces, spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. And also my website, which is www.revwynhendersonmd.com. You can also, if you have questions about getting into this new meetup group, give me a call. My telephone number is 828-508-7981. And Neil, thank you. And Teruni, thank you for being on the program today. And I really enjoyed it. It's put out a lot of good content.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Great value. Okay, guys, that was Freedom from Addiction, Truth, Justice, Below the Surface, and the Neil Haley Show. Take care.